Χρόνα πολλά. Blessed feast day. And also, welcome to everyone who's visiting with us online today. We're glad you're here. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Get her nice and dry, too, by all means.
Throughout the entire history of the world, men have conquered men. Rulers have conquered cities. Emperors have conquered entire nations. And at times, kings have strived to conquer the world. In 63 BC, Judea was conquered by and occupied by the Romans. At the time of our Lord, Israel was a puppet state of Rome. They had no king. The high priest functioned as the civil leader, and even he had no freedom. He had to be approved to be the leader of the Jews, to be the high priest, and thus the leader of the Jews. The Romans did not want a revolutionary who would challenge Rome's authority and stir up the people. To keep the high priest in check, can you imagine this? They took his vestments from him, and if he behaved, they would give him for the feast days. There's pretty much a lot of control right there. So amongst the Jews, under this occupation of Rome, the tensions were high. There was, quote unquote, political unrest because the oppressed Jews wanted to be free of the tyranny of Rome. And there was economic unrest because of the taxation. People were very angry of the taxation of the Romans upon the Jewish people. It was considered excessive. During Passover, tens of thousands of Jews came to Jerusalem. And because of the potential of an uprising of the Jews, because of this tension, Rome brought in thousands of soldiers to pretty much intimidate them. On every street corner in Jerusalem, a soldier stood. And on top of the buildings, they had soldiers standing with their spears for everyone to see. And then by the temple, they built, Romans built a fortress called Antonia. It was 14 stories high, 140 feet in the air. And they had watchtowers there so the soldiers could see the whole city. So for the Jews, it was unmistakable who was in charge. And when these pilgrims arrived to Jerusalem, like on this feast day, they were obligated once a year to pay a temple tax, half shekel for the upkeep of the temple. And really, all this, they had so much money at the temple, everything was super adorned. It was the most glorious temple. When they compare the temple of our Lord to all the pagan temples of the world, by far before Rome knocked it down, it was the most beautiful temple in the world. And it was really no big deal for the Jews to give this little half shekel to the temple. But their money was no good when they came there. Back then it wasn't like the United States dollar around the world. I mean, this city had their own money, this place, this king had their own money and everything else, and some were better and less, and so they would weigh them out and everything else to see what was there. So, but when you got there, they said, no, we won't take your coins because they had pagan images on them. And so you had to bring them to the temple or outside the temple, have them weighed out, and they were weighed out on dishonest scales, they say, and they exchanged their money, and it was a very unfair exchange rate. Then likewise, when you need to purchase animals, you exchange money for some pretty poor payment. And then a temple priest had a monopoly on the animals because to buy an animal, first had to be certified okay by the temple priests. So they kind of had a monopoly there on everything. And then, of course, they charged more than what the animals were worth to make more money. So the Jewish people there on this day, at this time, were very oppressed and they were poor. And they longed for freedom. The Old Testament prophecy said a Savior would come, a King would come and deliver God's people. And so the Jews were looking for the Messiah. They knew the prophecies of the Messiah King and were primed and ready for our Lord's entry this day into Jerusalem. And because it was the Passover feast, Jerusalem was overflowing with pilgrims. And on the road between Jerusalem and Bethany, where our Lord was, they camped out. They stayed on the sides of the roads in tents, and plus all the people that are in the village. And so throngs of people at this time had been already following our Lord, and they heard of him fulfilling the many, many messianic prophecies of Isaiah, of how the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, the dumb speak. And so they're believing that this man, Jesus, might be the Messiah. Now, they just heard, especially these people here on this road between Bethany and, well, between Mount of Olives and Jerusalem. They hear how up the road that Jesus just raised this man who they have not yet, this person they think that might be the Messiah, just raised the man dead 4 days. And the point is, that, you know, Jesus raised other people that were dead for less than a day. But for the Jews, this was a super miracle. Why? Of course, at 4 days that we've talked about, the body stinks. But even more so, their Jewish thought was, you know, and I've heard this in other traditions, and it's not biblical, it's not scriptural, but the idea that the soul lingers above the body for a few days. And the tradition or the thought was that when Lazarus died, or anyone dies, for 3 days the soul hangs around the body. I don't know why. But on the fourth day, it's gone. So Jesus waits to the fourth day. And so in their mind, the Jews now, definitely Lazarus' soul is in Sheol, okay? So when Jesus raised him up, that's a big deal, okay? That soul wasn't hanging around here, it was gone, okay? So Jesus starts coming towards Jerusalem. And these good Jews who know their scripture, they hear he's coming, and they hear also he's coming from Bethany, and Bethany is to the east, and Messiah comes from the east. Which way do we point our church? To the east, because that's the coming of the Lord. And in adding fervor, the rabbis, it's not scriptural, but suggested that the Messiah would come at the time of the Passover, okay? In fact, there's a little, I heard the tradition when I was a kid growing up, in the Russian tradition, that Jesus is going to come at Pascha, so you need to be at church, okay? Visit. I don't know. In their eyes, though, Jesus, this Messiah who's doing all this, is the perfect Messiah, the warlord king who would bring their rebellion. If Jesus had the power to raise Lazarus 4 days dead, he could beat those Roman legions. And if he was God's truly anointing, which they were believing, he would be invincible in battle. And this is the backdrop for today's, our Lord's entry into Jerusalem. The people are waving and they're shouting, Jesus is coming. They give him a king's welcome. They roll a royal carpet of palms and cloaks. And they sing from the Psalter, praise God. We sing every liturgy, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Those people are fired up. Their hopes are high. They think Jesus is coming to deliver them now from Roman oppression. They want a warlord king, a worldly king, but they're mistaken. Christ is the heavenly king. They want a warlord, but he's the Prince of Peace. And they want Jesus, when he comes into Jerusalem, to go straight to that fortress that's overlooking the temple, the Fortress Antonia, and take on the Romans. Instead, our Lord, what does he do? He doesn't go to the Fortress Antonia. He goes right to the temple, and he wages a different battle. He wages a battle against the corruption of the temple and takes on the chief priests and soldiers. And he goes in, and he flips. They had the money tables that they were exchanging. The money, he flips them around. And you can imagine, the coins go all rolling around this temple precinct, right? And no one lays a hand on our Lord. Think about that. If I had a business there and you came over and flipped my tables, you got a problem. All right? And then our Lord takes a whip, and that shows the authority of God. And then he takes a whip of cords. He puts them together. He finds some cords together. Jesus puts them together. And he starts whipping around at the people who were the proprietors, whipping out and chasing away their oxen, their sheep who were selling at these exorbitant prices. And he shouts from the prophecy of Isaiah. From the prophet Isaiah, my house should be called, our Lord, my house should be called a house of prayer. The temple should be called a house of prayer. But you, thieves, are making it a den of robbers. Then, while all these people are around in the temple, Jesus continues his ministry of healing the lame and the blind. Again, fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy. And the children are seeing this, the kids that are in the temple area. And you think about children are innocent and they're pure. And they start singing themselves in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David. We're singing, praise God. And all this work of our Lord, flipping the tables, driving out the animals, and even more so, the healing and the singing made the chief priests indignant. Jesus today, brothers and sisters, comes to Jerusalem to do some conquering. His enemy is not the Roman Empire. His enemy is death. He will slay death in a few days on the cross. He's come to usher in the time of the Lord. He will be arrested to accomplish this. He will be arrested by the soldiers of the temple on behalf of the chief priests. They're not allowed to kill Jesus by the law, but they want Pilate to do it. And they do everything they can to persuade Pilate to crucify him. But Pilate doesn't want to crucify Jesus. He knows this is all charade, but the Sanhedrin will force his hand. And we can see this right here. The chief priest, Pilate will say to the high priest, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priest answered, "We have no king but
Caesar."
Wow, blasphemy. Think about that. That's blasphemy from a high priest. Okay. Pilate will privately meet with Jesus and ask him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And I love Lord's words. "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom's not from here." So Pilate, "Are you a king?" Jesus says, "You say rightly that I am. For this I was born. For this what's taken place, for his death on the cross, for all that's taken place, he was born. And for this cause I will have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And then shortly after, Pilate, trying to satisfy the chief priest because he doesn't want to kill him, will scourge Jesus and hope that the chief priest will just take that bloodthirst. But that's not enough. The soldiers will mock him. They'll twist a crown of thorns upon him. They'll put on his crown, a crown of thorns on his head. They'll put a royal robe of purple on him. And a scepter in his hand. And he'll bow down and make fun of our Lord. "Hail, King of the Jews." Pilate says he's guilty of no crime. Christ is an innocent lamb now being led to the slaughter. And when somebody was crucified, or when they labeled the crime, and Pilate wrote, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Today, brothers and sisters, we come to church on Palm Sunday, holding palms, because Christ is our King. And that's why we do this today. He is our King. And like the Passover pilgrims, brothers and sisters, we sing Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And I want to close with these thoughts for us, with this coming all-important week, the holiest days of the year. Are we allowing him to conquer us, to own us? Are we willing to surrender our complete hearts and minds? Are we willing to allow him to be the occupying force of our lives, of our beings, of our hearts, of our minds? St. Andrew of Crete says that we need to imitate all those Jews who are on the side of the road, who laid their cloaks and their palms and everything else on the side of the road before him. Instead, we lay down our souls and we prostrate our whole being to our Lord and King. And that is our work, especially in these coming 7 days. Remember, on Holy Friday, everyone will abandon Christ. It'll only be the Theotokos, John the theologian, and some disciples who will stand with Christ at the cross. On Holy Thursday evening, which I think is one of the most important services of the church, our King will be hung on the cross. The earth will shake, the sun will darken, the saints will arise. The temple, curtain of the temple will be torn in two. It behooves all of us to stand with our Lord in that day, to watch him breathe his last breath. And I beg you to do everything that you can to be here. It doesn't happen at home. It doesn't happen on TV. And not at work, if we can take the night off if we have to work. At 3 p.m. On Friday, we'll take our Lord down from that cross and place him in his new tomb. And that evening, we will come here again, and we'll sing Lamentations. And we'll hear the first prophecies of the resurrection, Ezekiel's dry bones coming to life. And Holy Saturday, we'll keep the Sabbath with our Lord, keeping the night holy, keeping the day holy. And we'll be standing at the threshold of Pascha. The priest will change his vestments to a bright color. The colors of the church will change. And we'll even hear a gospel of the resurrection from Matthew. And we're going to celebrate the liturgy right on his tomb in the center of the church. And it's a teaching liturgy. We want to make sure that all the young people. I would love for all the young children and young ladies, especially all those who've never been able to stand on the altar, to come and stand close. Always when I serve that liturgy, I'm filled with joy because it's like angels around singing, Lord have mercy, the little girl singing. And that night, brothers and sisters, hell will be plundered. Satan will be rent powerless. The final enemy, death, will be destroyed. And we, with the murmuring women, disciples, will celebrate the Pascha, our Lord's Pascha. And to be sure, no other event in world history has affected so many people. The history of the world is defined by these days. And as Orthodox Christians, these days define our lives. With great love, I look forward to these holy days with you, to sojourn with our Lord, who loves us so much and has done so much to give us life. And to him be glory, honor, worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.